Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Well, it's two eggs up on the whiskey toast, home fries on the side. Wash it down with the roadhouse coffee, burns up your insides. You're just a canyon caller at a diner, and a waitress I did love. A sat in the back beneath an old stuffed bear and a worn-out Navajo rug. Now old Jack, the boss, he left at six. Then it's Katie, bar the door. She pulled down that Navajo rug and she spread it across the floor. Hey, I saw lightning cross the sacred mountain, saw the woven turtle doves. But I was lying next to Katie on that old Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you. Katie, shades of red and blue. Well, I saw old Jack about a year ago. He said the place burned to the ground. And all I say with this old bare tooth, Katie, she's left town. Ah, but Katie, she got her souvenir too, Jack's bad a tobacco plug. Well, you should have seen her coming through the smoke, a-dragging that Navajo rug.
Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug.
Every time I cross the sacred mountains and lightning breaks above, it always takes me back in time to my long-lost Katie love. But everything keeps on a-moving, everybody's on the go. Hey, you don't find things that last anymore like I know of a Navajo.
Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, aye, Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you. Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you. Katie.
The late, great Ian Tyson with his song Navajo Rug. Well, good morning from Nashville, Tennessee, Music City. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me in Albuquerque is our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning. I'm here in the land of enchantment with a beautiful day stretched ahead of us, and you've got a lot going on in Nashville, don't you?
Man, I'm telling you what, the town has been busy for a couple of days, and today is actually the official kickoff for CMA Fest, the 50th anniversary. So a lot of great happenings going on, music all over the place. And it's just a good place to be this week. As long as you don't have to go downtown. If you're native, you don't want to go downtown. But but for the few hundred thousand visitors that are in this week, it's going to be a great week. It was really funny, Bobby, because I picked up Mary Kay at the airport on Sunday night at 10 o'clock. She had been out performing in Utah, and the Nashville airport has just exploded in size. I mean, it's just unbelievably large now. But when you pull into the airport, then you have quite a little drive to get to the terminal to pick up the arrivals or people that are departing. And I just pulled into the thing, and I'm telling you what, I have never seen so many cars in the arrival lane. And I had to think, I couldn't figure it out. And then suddenly I realized it was all the people coming into Nashville for CMA Fest this week. So it took me 30 minutes just to get from the entrance to the terminal to pick her up. And then I had to wait, you know, of course, for her to end. But anyway, it's got a lot of great stuff going on. And since we're talking about music, I'm going to just pitch this out real quick. Our good friend Bobby Marquez is putting on the 8th annual Country with Heart benefit for St. Jude's Hospital. And you're going to know a lot of these people, Bobby, that are going to be performing. But I'm going to go through the Johnnies first that are going to be performing. This is all taking place this Saturday night at the Nashville Nightlife Theater. But Johnny Rodriguez will be there. John Berry will be there. John McEwen of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band will be there performing. John Schneider of the Dukes of Hazzard is now a performer and a singer. He's going to be there. And then Dennis Quaid, the actor who is now here in Nashville and is going to be performing. Barbara Fairchild, Bailey and the Boys, and a couple that you're going to know real well is Rex Allen Jr. and the Riders in the Sky. So that is all taking place at the Nashville Nightlife Theater. It's the 8th annual Country with Heart benefit for St. Jude's Hospital. And you can get tickets at eventbrite.com. Just search for Country with Heart to do that. So that's taking place on Saturday night as part of CMA week. So it's all kinds of music going on. But we have all kinds of music going on today on the Campfire Cafe. And who is our first guest?
Our first guest is Alan Chapman, and we're so eager, and I think he's actually in New Mexico. I know he's performing tonight in New Mexico. I'm assuming he's boots on the ground already here, but we'll find out.
We'll find out. So we're looking forward to talking with Alan, and then our good friend Robert, the Trailmeister Eversole, has missed a couple of shows. He's been with us now for, I think, 8 years. On the second Thursdays of every month, but Robert is back and we're ready to visit with him on Saddle Up America. That's all coming up today on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from our good friend, Mr. Alan Chapman. It's one called The King of Texaco, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk with Alan today on the Campfire Cafe.
Come all ye sons of Ireland, hear my tale so sad with woe. Kilkenny was my home once, and up there I did grow. Annie Phelan had eyes of green, she loved me true, I know. But to make my fortune I sailed the sea to the land of Texaco. Well, they taught me how to rope and ride, to be a cowboy bold. But there is no green in this whole land they call the Texaco. The wind blows all the livelong day, at night my toes are froze. If this is fortune, I am doomed in this land the Texaco. Claimed he knew where there was gold in this land of Texaco. Said I, sir, pray tell us how your story can be so. For I've not seen a single coin in this land of Texaco. Well, a stranger smiled and said, gather round, there is this bank I know. 'Twould be an easy thing to take it all and live like kings of Texaco. With gold coins dancing in my head, the moon was rising low. Convinced of riches, I followed him to be a king of Texaco. Thank you. hands they trembled so. The stranger cried, "This is robbery, give us all your gold." They caught us before the morning light, and out our guns did throw. Now six solemn men have sealed my fate in this land of Texaco. You sons of Aaron, hear my tale so sad with woe. I wish I were in my Annie's arms, ah, I miss her so. But pay no mind to the devil's words, he'll only bring you low. For Ireland I'll not see again, 'cause I'm hanged in Texaco. No, Ireland I'll not see again, or be a king of Texaco.
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. We just heard The King of Texaco from the album Western Folk by today's featured guest, Alan Chapman. A three-time Grammy nominee, award winner, and acclaimed songwriter, today's featured guest, Alan Chapman's songs are inspired by the day-to-day experience of today's rural ranchers and the history of the great American West. With a voice that captures your attention, music that feeds the heart, and lyrics, both humorous and always thought-provoking, Alan Chapman invites you to experience the West he knows and loves. Alan Chapman and his wife, Rodeo Kate, are both award-winning musicians. It is said their brand of American Western music will roll your socks up and down. I can tell you from personal experience that it will leave you often with your mouth open, with tears running down your face, and often with a great big smile. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe, Alan Chapman. Welcome, Alan.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Glad to be here in a beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico morning here.
Ah, so you're both in Albuquerque today.
Yes.
Wow.
He's here.
Wow, wow. Well, I will tell you that it is a beautiful day in Tennessee with moderate temperatures, low humidity, which is really great for us. And we talked about the CMA Fest just a minute ago, so it is the most perfect weather that they've had, I think, in maybe all of their 50 years. So it's going to be a tremendous weekend here. But, Alan, we were talking a little bit earlier, so you spent about, what, 15 years here in Nashville?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I got to see it from the 70s and into the end of the 80s. So I was there during a pretty revolutionary time in Nashville. So good time.
I think so. And you also said you were here for the very first CMA Fest, which was at that time Fan Fest. And
that's right.
That's pretty great. It's come a long, long way since 50 years ago. But,
I'm sure it has.
Well, you did a lot of writing when you were in Nashville. You were contracted with who back then?
You know, I was a songwriter first for Tree Publishing, and then I moved over to United Artists Publishing and wrote songs with a lot of great songwriters that got to know real well. So it was a good time.
Well, you've had songs that have been recorded by the Oak Ridge Boys and Kenny Rogers and George Jones. And how did you get something written by or recorded by Diana Ross?
Well, it has to do with a Beatle.
Okay. which Beatle are we talking about now? A Bug Beatle or a Beatle?
No, we're talking about one of the Beatles, John. John's wife, Yoko, had an assistant who really liked the song that was called Love Lies. And she pitched it to Diana Ross. and cut it. And I was just really kind of astounded that this little old cowboy from West Texas could actually have something that could come out of the mouth of Diana Ross. So I was just tickled to death with it.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, we had Gary Nicholson on live from Nashville a couple of weeks ago, and Gary is doing a lot of writing with Ringo Starr. And it's like, how does this happen? How do you get into the Beatles? But music is music, and I think there's a connection everywhere, you know.
Always
regardless
is. Always
of,
is.
All, regardless of your genre, there's always a connection somewhere. Well, you have a brand new single out, and thank you so much for sending us the advanced music on the EP, Thistles and Thorns. But the first song we want to get to is West Texas Blues. That's a single. So first of all, I'm going to ask, are you starting to send out singles now instead of whole albums and EPs?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the best ways that we can get our music out there is to try to go that singles route. You know, I'm old enough to remember when 45s were in vogue and everybody
A-side, B-side. 40. Yeah.
Yeah. And having had a number of records, both here in the States and in Europe that came out as singles by different artists, you learn to appreciate that. So, our first single came out, and it's West Texas Blues. And as we left the driveway and back in West Texas to drive here yesterday, the Amazon truck pulled up and offloaded our new CD copies. So we've got copies of CDs now. So we'll be distributing those as well. So
Very good. Very good. Well, let's take a listen to West Texas Blues. This is an awesome song, and it's Alan Chapman. It's from the EP Thistles and Thorns, but this is the single. It's called West Texas Blues.
It's a small town, big dreams, stoplight flashing in between you and those West Texas. It's a hot wind and a starry night. You're cruising Main Street, it's locked up tight. You got those West Texas blues. Listen to the man on that radio, pumping out old cowboy songs. Where would you go if you could drive all night to hear Roy and Dale and Gene sing along? It's a blood moon on the rise, thinking back on all her lies, and you've got those West Texas blues. Your tires scream, your motor hums, thinking back when you were young and you had those West Texas. Listen to the man on that radio, humming out old country songs. What would it take if you could leave this town where Hank Williams sings till dawn? I'll take it. Western swim song. Where would you go if you could drive all night? Bob Wills, where have you gone? Small town, big dreams, stoplight flashing in between you and those West Texas blues.
It's a hot, wind, starry night. You're cruising Main Street, it's locked and tight. And you got those West Texas blues. Yeah, you got those West Texas blues. You've got those West Texas. You've got those West Texas. You've got those West Texas blues.
Alan Chapman, Rodeo Kate, West Texas Blues from the brand new EP, Thistles and Thorns. Alan is our special guest this morning. Alan, listening to that song, I've listened to this song so many times, but I'm really hearing Rodeo Kate. Would you tell us a little bit about her and how you met? And her fiddle playing is so powerful on so much of your music. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, Rodeo Kate and I used to play in a band that was called the Texas Trailhands. And then we got to know each other pretty well and got hitched up. And we've managed over the years to try to make music part of our lives together. She originally grew up in a musical family up in Idaho and Utah. And she went to college and got degrees in music and masters in music and has played with a lot of different folks over the years. But great, great string teacher. She teaches little kids how to play violins and violas and cellos and maybe torment their parents at night. But
I could imagine.
She's got a great style, and I really like what she can do with a fiddle and a viola, and that's why we are who we are. And we are the Dinosaur Cowboy Band. We're cowboy musicians that are old enough to be called dinosaurs. So
that was going to be my next question. Yes.
You weren't going to ask his age, were you? You weren't going to ask his age, were you?
No. He's not.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I started playing music when I was three, so.
One of the first house concerts that we saw Alan and Rodeo Kate at, and which is where I believe performing again tonight, I actually won the Dinosaur Cowboy Band ball cap.
That's right, you did.
Yes, I did. That was the first time we met. Yes, I did. I wear it with pride.
And that's probably the only one in existence, too.
There go eBay. There we go eBay. No, I'm kidding. Gosh. Mm-mm. Well, I'm gonna go backwards just a little bit in our conversation. You spent 15 years in Nashville.
Right.
Gary McMahon spent a number of years here in Nashville, and
yeah,
Ian Tyson. I was
right.
Going to ask. So Ian Tyson was here in Nashville. We started the show with one of his songs, Navajo Rug. So how many of you guys all knew each other back in the day?
I remember Gary. Gary used to sit out. There used to be a big tree behind the United Artists Tower, and it had picnic benches out there. And Gary would be sitting out there playing in the afternoon for different folks that would be walking up and down the streets. That's a clear memory, and I got to know him that way. And as far as Ian, I met Ian years before I even came to Nashville in New York, when he was doing the folk music stuff in New York. And then he left and went back to Canada and really sort of jumped into the forefront of what was then Western music and had some great things like Four Strong Winds and Navajo Rug with Tom Russell and just a great talent out there. We miss him so much today.
Yeah. Well, and there's a great song, and we're not going to play it today, but 1973. About those days back in Nashville and things changing. And, it's just amazing to me the number of talented people that were in that community during that period of time.
It was a hotbed of all sorts of things, because you had traditional country music, you had the folky kind of music that was happening, and then you had some more pop country that was happening at the same time, and we had great writers and great publishing companies and record companies, and everybody was looking for a niche. They were looking for a seat at the table, and that's what makes country music and Western music and pop music so strong, is that we can all sit down at that same table.
Yeah, absolutely. But it just strikes me that there was such a number of amazingly talented people that were all here at about the same time. And then, everybody went back out west again. A lot of that group went back out west again.
Yeah, I was standing at the exit inn waiting to get in. And here came Crosby, Stills, Nash through the front door. I'm going, wow, Nashville has really arrived. So,
Well, it's amazing to me, Alan, the number of people that have moved into Nashville and the surrounding Middle Tennessee areas, Franklin, Tennessee, and Hermitage and Hendersonville and those different areas. But all of these different genres of music have all migrated back into Nashville now. And,
well, I think it's just a natural progression, because Nashville has always been a music town. Los Angeles and New York are great. Florida are great.
Yeah.
But Nashville is just steeped in it, and always has been and probably always will be. So it's a good thing.
Well, we hope so. Well, I'm going to get to the title cut from this EP. It's called Thistles and Thorns. And what can you tell us about this song?
Well, Thistles and Thorns is an old cowboy saying, because you're always dodging when you're out riding. You're dodging thistles and thorns on mesquite trees, and that idea is a fairly common thing among cowboys, working cowboys that are out there. And if you combine that with a gospel twist about faith, you can see how cowboys, sometimes when they're sitting there on that church pew, they may be thinking about what's going on that the minister is talking about, but they're also keeping in the back of their mind that, we're all still out there trying to get through life and dodging those thistles and thorns.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to it. It is the title cut, and we'll be back to talk more with Alan Chapman in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
We're dodging thistles and thorns from the day that we're born. One comes from roses, the other comes with thorns. Most times we're happy in life's little storm, but faith can get warm, dreams become torn, dodging thistles and thorns. Jesus walked on the water and said, come unto me, but my faith is too shallow to stroll Galilee. redemption is easy. If we stay on dry land, with everyone watching, and we know where to stand, dodging thistles and thorns from the day that we're born. One comes from roses, the other comes with thorns. Most times we're happy in life's little storms. But faith can get worn, dreams become torn, dodging thistles and thorns. Mary had a problem, but who could she tell? Her friends would desert her, but not the man at the well. He knew her life story, like he knows yours and mine. He healed her from sadness, like he healed the blind. Dodging thistles and thorns, from the day that we're born. One comes from roses, the other comes with thorns. Most times we're happy in life's little storms. But faith can get worn, and dreams become torn, dodging thistles and thorns. Faith can get worn, and dreams become torn, dodging thistles and thorns.
Dinosaur Cowboys, Alan Chapman and Rodeo Cage. That's the title track from the new EP, Thistles and Thorns. Alan, your songwriting, they are stories. We get fully developed characters when we start out to the end. We have a full-on story, I think, with every song that you create. And when you perform them as a listener in the audience, I just feel between your voice and your stage presence that there's just love rolling out and over all of us, regardless of the subject matter. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like you're really writing to touch our hearts and to let us know there's a story to be told, and we might be part of that. We might relate to it, or we'll be entertained by it. Tell us a little bit about that creative process. How does a song come to you, and how do you craft it?
Wow, that's a really good question. When I figure it out, no, the reality is that when I was a small child, I was a stutterer, and it was really hard to get words out sometimes. And as I matured and moved out of that stuttering phase, I figured that I had a good shot at catching people's attention if I laid it out pretty plainly so everybody could understand. And then as I grew up, I had an English teacher one time, And she encouraged me to write poetry and stuff like that when I was in elementary school. In fact, I think I won some sort of a award when I was like in the third grade for a national award that got published in a book someplace. But she I think she was responsible for the storytelling part of what I do, and making sure that you didn't have to explain it. If it comes out the way that you want it, then you don't have people coming back going, well, what did you mean about that? But as I went ahead and went into college, and I had other English teachers that were responsible for, I think, trying to show me how to use lyrics that were expanded. And you said some really nice things about the love flowing over. I'm not sure. When you perform, you get to see people's reaction to what it is that you're performing, at least in my venue. If I was one of these performers that only performed to 10,000 people, I don't think I'd get that kind of response. But I've always pictured myself as just a cafe entertainer, and you want to reach out there, and you're not just singing the songs or the words just to be cute. You're trying to make a connection. At least I'm trying to make a connection, and that's the important goal of any songwriter is to get listened to and to actually make an emotional response one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you do. And I think, you know, when we saw you at SWRFA last fall in the showcase rooms where there's no sound, everybody sits, you know, pretty close. We're in basically hotel rooms, so bedrooms, so everybody's sitting, you know, pretty closely. But you had us all in the palm of your hand from the moment it was your turn. And I know tonight at the house concert, it'll be the same thing. And we're just enthralled, I think, because your message is so clear, and it just gets right to the heart of the story that you're sharing. And I think it just is so relatable. Have you written lyrics where you've just kind of said, that kind of came to me, but you know, that's not going to go anywhere. And in that case, do you put it aside? Do you put it in an envelope, or, you know, what do you do with the ones that really aren't quite ready yet?
Yeah, actually, that happened not too long ago. The SWRFA performance that you're talking about, I met this guy named Joel White. And Joel lives in Amarillo, or outside of Amarillo. And so I had written these lyrics that had to do with the last of the 4-6s Cowboys. And the 4-6s, you may or may not know, the 4-6s Ranch is one of the biggest ranches out there in northwest Texas. Not too far from where I grew up, and I had this story about an old cowboy who's, you know, staring down his fate at the last part of his life, and so I had these lyrics, and I gave them to Joel. I said, "What can you do? See if you can do anything with this." And yesterday, he emailed me the single for the last of the 4-6s Cowboys, and so it just kind of took my breath away. And
wow.
It's released. He just released that single this week. I think Joel has got a CD party in Claude, Texas, on the 24th. But
yes, he does.
You know,
yeah, he's been working with Merrill Briganti.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it just turned out really well. So there are times when you write stuff and you go, well, you know, I'll set that to the side here for a little bit. And then the right opportunity, the right person comes along and you can manage to make contact.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know Gary's got another one queued up. Are you going to do Gary Midnight in Mesilla?
We are. We are. We're going to take a listen to that right now, and then we're going to come back and talk more with Mr. Alan Chapman today on the Campfire Cafe.
It's midnight in Mesilla. I can smell a cool wind rising in the desert air. And the ghost Pancho Villa stands guard tonight around this tiny square. A mariachi band plays their songs that echo off these old adobe walls. And I'm not missing her at all. The patrons in the banquet hall laugh and smile and stand to make their wedding toast. And lady's shoulders shiver in candlelight as bold talk becomes nothing more than foolish boast. Mission bells are all asleep, and a full moon rises behind the peddler's stall. It's midnight in the sea, and I'm not missing her at all. If I had been the one she wanted, I would have known the way that I might make her stay. But sometimes cowboy pride gets tangled up inside when words get in the way. The red cantina's neon hums and Spanish words flow out on this enchanted land. While ancient men and their lovers shuffle slowly through the shadows past the old bandstand. Musicians pack their things to go, and a trumpet player blows a farewell call. It's midnight in Mesilla, and I'm not missing her at all. It's midnight in Mesilla, and I'm not missing her.
Midnight in Mesilla. It is from the EP Thistles and Thorns, and Alan is our special guest today on the Campfire Cafe. And Alan, I have started doing this on some of the radio shows. We had a group of musicians over to the house about a month ago or a month and a half ago, and we were all sitting around the dining room table, and everyone started telling their road stories, and we almost died laughing. And there were a few of them that we could even tell on the radio. So I'm going to ask you, one of your most fun experiences while you were out on the road, that is GP or PG. What do you call that, Bobby? PG?
PG.
GP? PG.
Yeah, PG.
Well,
it means it's okay for public consumption.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
My favorite one is, I mean, I've had a lot of good experiences and some that weren't so good. So I won't talk about those, but my, one of my favorite ones is when I was a young man and, I'd had an agent in New York City that, wanted me to come to New York City during the summertime and play the clubs around there and play upper state New York. So I flew up there, had my guitar in my hand. The guy met me at the airport, and he immediately drove me to Central Park. And, of course, it was the second time I'd ever been to New York City, but I sort of knew what Central Park was.
Okay.
And it just happened that Pete Seeger, who was a big folk banjo guy,
oh wow,
had a concert that was going on. And so I got there and he was trying to do a sound check, and Pete Seeger was a big, tall man. I mean, he was kind of gangly and tall and not unlike me at that time. And, so Pete could not get the sound guy to make things right while he was up there trying to play his banjo. So he walked over the stage where my manager was standing beside me, and he grabbed me and he said, "Get your guitar and come out here and you stand here and play some songs and we'll get this sound thing taken care of." And so
wow.
I got out there and I did about 15 minutes. I did 15 minutes of sound checking for Pete Seeger, and he comes back and he says, "That's good. Now, what's your name?" And I said, "Alan." He said, "Alan, you're going to go on third tonight."
Wow.
So you do those three songs that you just did, and I'll introduce you. Where are you from? You're from Texas. Okay, well, I'm going to introduce you. So I got to go on immediately from flat West Texas on an airplane to New York City to Central Park. To the Pete Seeger folk concert. All in one.
Oh gosh. That's an awesome story. That is an awesome story. Well, this road story thing that we're doing is so much fun, but that's a great story. What's ever topped that, Alan? I mean, has there been anything that's topped that?
Yeah, there have been, but not for public.
I mean, outside of Marion Rodeo Cape, you know.
That pretty much tops everything. So
he's getting ready to take a road trip with a few people that we know. So maybe there'll be a good story that'll come out of that, Alan.
Yeah,
we'll have to check that out.
We're going to the Western Writers Association later at the end of this month in Rapid City, South Dakota. And Jim Jones and a couple of other folks we're all carpooling up there, and we'll see what comes out of that.
Yeah. I've already extended my sympathy to Alan about having to go with Jim Jones anywhere. So anyway.
At least I don't have to drive. So
there you go. There you go. Well, you are a fabulous storyteller or songteller, whatever you want to call it, but you do a wonderful job of presenting stories in your songs. And I know Bobby said she had heard this one, and I woke up this morning singing this in bed, and my wife said she had heard you do this before. But Barstow, Texas, I think, is just a phenomenal piece of work. And How did this come about?
Well, you know, Barstow, Texas, I was born in Pecos, Texas, which is down there in the Chihuahuan Desert, sort of the belt buckle of the Chihuahuan Desert, because the Chihuahuan Desert is in Mexico and in South Texas. Barstow is like 40 miles from west of Pecos. And we always had this story in my family about what happened in early 1900s. At Barstow and how it got washed away because a rain man came in there and did something to the weather. And so I thought it would be interesting to take a little journey down the road of possibilities to see what would happen. As I understood it, the rainmaker that came into Barstow was part of the government of the state of Kansas, who actually had a Department of Rain and Weather, if you can believe
bureaucrat
being in charge of rain and weather in 1904. And so this guy comes down there. The guy comes down there to help him, which shows you what happens if you believe in science too much. But Barstow, Texas, 1904 is the result of a true-ish story, I guess.
All right. Well, I absolutely love this. It is a great, great song. Barstow, Texas, 1904. This is Alan Chapman. We'll be back.
It was just another dusty Texas town in the year of 1904. For 9 months there'd been no rain and things were looking poor. Townsfolk got together, talked about which way to go. Somebody said, let's just hire a rain man to make the heavens flow. They put ads in all the papers saying $1,000 gold for the man who can make it rain again. This drought is growing old. When the rain man comes, we're gonna laugh and dance and sing. When the rain man comes, we won't worry about a thing. When the rain man comes, he'll chase away that sun. We'll shout hallelujah when the rain man comes. Soon the town's wait was over, for here came rolling into view a circus wagon with a big sign that said, rain is what I do. Now who here wants a little rain? The rain man calmly spoke. Now here there's gold involved, unless there's been some joke. The mayor said, well, yeah, Mr. Rain Man, we'll pay if you make it rain. So go ahead and do your stuff, let's see if you're good as you claim. When the rain man comes, we're gonna laugh and dance and sing. When the rain man comes, we won't worry about a thing. When the rain man comes, he'll chase away that sun. We'll shout hallelujah when the rain man comes. The next morning there came a drizzle, then a mist became a shower. Rain started falling more and more with every hour. Now where's my gold? The rain man said, I've done just what you asked. The mayor said, we never said when we pay your rain it may not last. The rain man smiled and slowly turned and headed out of town. The rain kept falling, but he never looked around. For 3 long weeks the rain fell. It rained both night and day. One more night of rain, and it washed the town away. When the rain man comes, we're gonna laugh and dance and sing. When the rain man comes, we won't worry about a thing. When the rain man comes, chase away that sun. We'll shout hallelujah when the rain man comes. Hallelujah, 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 there is rain.
Barstow, Texas, 1904, Alan Chapman. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I could see this just being a TV show or something, an episode or something that's out there.
Well,
but that is
let's make that happen.
Well, we'll get, that'll be another project. I'm telling you what, that'd be a great one.
Taylor
that'll
Sheridan.
Be a great
Hello,
one.
Taylor. Yeah. Hello, Taylor
yeah.
Sheridan. We got
yeah.
an idea for you.
There you go. There you go. Well, you have been absolutely fantastic, as always, to have on the show, Mr. Alan Chapman. And this is
well,
a great album. People need to order this. This is Thistles and Thorns is the name of it. And so where can people go to get this, to get your other music, and to find out where you'll be touring besides New Mexico tonight?
Well, you can go to alanandkatie.com. That's alanandkatie.com. And you can contact us there for CD sales and for coming events.
All right. Well, I'm going to encourage everybody to do that. And we're looking forward to seeing you and Katie coming to Nashville, Tennessee. When's the last time you were here, Alan?
Oh, it's been a couple of years, I think.
It is constantly changing. It's just amazing what's going on in Nashville.
We were talking last night on the drive over, and we need to plan something this fall. So we're working on another fall CD release, so maybe we can do something else and come there and see you guys and have a little visit.
Well, we got a place for you. Place for you. You're very welcome. We're going to close out this one with Tears of the Heart. This is the one that makes Bobby cry. And
mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Yeah, tell us about Tears of the Heart.
Well, it's kind of a true story. Had to juggle the scenery around and the location around a little bit, but it's my take on why we need to pay attention to each other as individuals, and there's way too much violence out there amongst couples and partners and things like that, and we need to just be cognizant of it. And not be silent.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, this is a great, great song. Alan Chapman, you have been a fantastic guest, and we look forward to seeing you in Nashville this fall. So let's make that happen.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Bobby.
All right. This is Tears of the Heart. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sleeping in her car in Denver with the rising of the sun. Black and blue marks told a story of someone on the run. She rented a room three doors from mine in this tiny cheap motel. The desk clerk asked what happened. Molly shrugged and said, "I fell. Fly away like a dove in early spring, fly away. Go ahead and spread your wings, fly away. For a better place to stay, leave your broken dreams and fly away." I was day working hauling Mustangs back and forth for the BLM. My pickup truck was running on fumes and my pocketbook was looking slim. Molly got her a job at the diner, and with that she paid her bills. We'd sit up all night singing cowboy songs until we'd had our fill. Fly away like a dove in early spring, fly away. go ahead and spread your wings, fly away. Or a better place to stay, leave your broken dreams and fly away. I came home late one evening, policemen were everywhere. A big man was cuffed and crying by the stairs. And as I passed her room, I looked in to see Molly laying on the floor. She finally found those wings she was looking for. Fly away, like a dove in early spring, fly away. Go ahead and spread your wings, fly away. Or a better place to stay, leave your broken dreams and fly away. Now life moves along like some old song that we hum in the dark. When I remember her face, I just can't erase all these tears of the heart. Fly away, like a dove in early spring, fly away. Go ahead and spread your wings, fly away. For a better place to stay, leave your broken dreams and fly away. Leave your broken dreams and fly away.
Fly away, Molly.
It's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. When we come back, we'll be talking with the Trailmeister.
I can hear my mother's voice so clear, reading by my bedside, odysseys and fairy tales, how she made them come alive. She said stories are all around my child, that's something you've been taught well. Just go to the mountain and you will hear the stories that the rocks tell. So come on, Molly, let's go to the mountain. You can chase a rabbit or a fox there. I'll stand quiet so I can hear the stories that the rocks tell. But the muses, they just laugh at me, 'cause they don't do my beckoning. They say music is all around my child, gotta make sure that you're listening. Go to the meadow and you'll hear the songs that the wind sings. So come on, green grass under our feet. they're just memories on a blank page. Try too hard and they'll never come. They find you in such strange ways. A memory's like a single raindrop falling in slow motion, and all those memories run to the river, and the river runs to the ocean. So come on, Molly, and stick by the river. I'm so glad will someday be a memory. Like the songs that the wind sings, and the stories that the rocks tell. All those memories run to the river, and the river runs to the ocean.
The stories that the rocks tell, that's Mickey Furman. Welcome back to Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. And we are going to welcome back to the show, after a couple of months' absence, our good friend, Mr. Robert, the Trailmeister Eversole. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you guys doing? It's been a hot minute since we were on together.
Yeah, it has been. You've just been staying too busy, my friend.
You know, I think you're right. Too busy being the operative word there. It has been, I've been swamped.
Well, you got back from the, was it the 50th anniversary of the Backcountry Horsemen of America?
Yep.
Yeah, for...
Yeah.
So you did that, and I saw some photographs of you with some of our buddies that were out there for that. So what did you learn while you were there? Anything new going on with BCHA?
Oh, there's always stuff going on with Backcountry Horsemen. All sorts of fun stuff. I dearly want to hop on some of their work parties this year. I just got to find the time to do so. But it was good to hang out with them. Their rendezvous was a ball as always. So that was good. And kind of like yourself, you know, seeing people you haven't seen in quite a little while and catching up in old times.
Yeah, that's kind of great. Well, the work parties, I know why you want to go on a work party, because there's always good food after it's over with. I know you.
That is true, but I have a different reason this year, or an additional reason this year.
All right.
It seems like it was just yesterday, but it was in the winter because there was snow on the ground. I found my great-grandfather's old crosscut saw back,
I think
it was in February. Yep. Going through one of the barns at the family farm back in Ohio, and I found a 7-foot crosscut saw from back in the day. I talked to my uncle about it.
He
said that was your grandfather's, and I remember him talking about it was his father's before him. So my great grandfather's crosscut saw.
Wow!
Yeah.
So now is it back in Washington?
Oh well, it was, and then I shipped it to Utah, where my saw guy lives. So he's getting it tuned up and sharpened. I talked to my mom about it, and she didn't remember, you know, Grandpa having it or anything like that. But she asked, well, why are you sending it back? Are you going to have it painted? And I said, no, Mom, no. This is going to be a working saw. Going to get her sharpened and tuned and cleaned up, and I am going to be pulling on that same handle that my grandfather and his father before pulled on and sweated. I am so excited about using the same tool that they used.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, so I don't know if it will be a one-day trip or a two-day trip or longer. But as soon as I get that saw back, I'm going to be calling some backcountry horsemen I know and saying, "Hey, where's the next work party? I'm going to chew on a log like a beaver if I have to, but I'm cutting a log with a saw."
Oh gosh, well that is pretty cool. That is great. I love old family history, and when you can get back, when you can get hold of something like that, that's pretty special. That is very,
yeah,
very special.
It is. Very excited about it. So,
yeah.
But that's I've been back and forth to the Midwest, to Ohio, a whole lot this year. I have some family stuff going on, and so found that, and those trips will be continuing. Just we were talking the other day. I'm going to be visiting you in September.
You are. Yeah.
So
either
I'm going
to cook out for you, or you're going to take me out to eat. I think I'm going to end up cooking out for you here at the house. So that would be
even
kind of
better.
A cool thing. Yeah.
Even better. Yeah. We got to get Bobby there.
Yeah, come on down, Bobby. Come on down, Bobby. You haven't been to Nashville in a while.
No, I know. You're going in September, Robert, is it?
Yes. I will be doing clinics with Backcountry Horsemen of Tennessee in a place called Big South Fork, which I've never been to, but I've heard fabulous things about it. Gary told me a lot about
it. Favorite place to ride.
So I will be at Timber Ridge Horse Camp for those clinics. And then the following weekend, I will be doing a cinch building clinic there at Timber Ridge on Saturday. And I get done with that, and then I drive to Nolensville, which is someplace near you, to a place called Crossroads
Probably
Ranch.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Is that Josh Gunn?
Yes. How do I pronounce his name? Gwynn Gunn?
I think it's Josh Gwynn. I believe it is.
G-U-I-N. Josh Gwynn.
Josh Gwynn.
He's got the
but
best
Nolensville
Southern accent in the world.
Gosh. Well, he's a good guy as well. So you'll have a great time. Nolensville, Robert, I just heard the other day, is becoming one of the wealthiest counties, small city in the country. It's in Williamson County.
Rubs off.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so, but it's in Williamson County, and it has just been exploding over there, just like it does everywhere else. But beautiful horse country over in Nolensville and Triune and all through that area. So you'll have a great time.
I am really looking forward to it. The folks at Timber Ridge, they're going to loan me a horse. Susan Riggin is one of the owners. And she said that the backcountry horsemen, they arranged everything. And they asked her if she would provide me a horse for my stay. So not only do I get to talk with horse folks that I haven't seen in ages, I get to go riding in Big South Fork. So score.
Well, you will enjoy that. And I told you before, I told you when we talked a little bit earlier, I said you need to ride down to Cherry Creek Lodge.
Okay.
And visit down there, and that thing was built back in the 1700s, early 1700s.
Oh my!
And so it's a great place to visit and ride to. And I always used to like to ride down there and eat on the front porch of the lodge. I don't know if they'll let you do that now or not. But, but it's a very, very, very beautiful area. Beautiful area. So you'll have a great time.
I am looking forward to it. Now it's going to be early September. Will I see any fall colors? I mean, I have fall colors here in September, but we're pretty far north. No fall colors.
No. It'd be a little bit early for the fall colors. October is usually when you start to see the fall colors there.
Gotcha.
But,
well, it's going to be fabulous.
But it will be beautiful. Yeah, it will be beautiful. I told Mary Kay this morning I had seen some of my friends that had posted some photographs on the Big South Fork recently, and there are more bears out in the Big South Fork being spotted than normal. We've always had bears. Oh. We've got wild hogs up there. But okay. There are more bears that are being seen than normal. So I don't know what the deal is on that, you know. But
Yeah.
But you may run into that.
But those are some of the big things that are happening here. Oh, I'm trying hoof boots this year.
You mentioned that for your mules, hoof boots for the mules?
Yeah, since it's not going to be a big packing year, I'm not going to be pulling any big strings for the Forest Service this year. With all the trips back and forth, it just didn't make sense to sign up for any big runs. And got asked to try hoof boots. I tried them, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 years ago, and they just didn't work for my mules. But evidently there's some new technology out, new molds, to fit those tiny little donkey feet, and so going to be trying that. So I've got an Ohio clinic at a place called Smoke Rise Ranch at the end of the month. So I fly in on the 26th around midnight or so, and then 7 o'clock the next morning, the hoof boot people are going to be here.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's early, my friend. Too early for me. Early for me. Yeah. So you have just become a mule guy in the last few years. I remember your pretty little Palomino horse that you rode, and Celeste is still riding her little horse?
Yeah, she has not yet graduated to mules.
Okay.
So, but, she's got a great relationship with her little Icelandic mare, and that's really all that matters. There's times that I envy her for her short years because – my long ears, they've got definite opinions on things.
So. Well, I'm sure they do. I was going to ask, though, Robert, since you have become a mule guy, you need to make it to Columbia, Tennessee for Mule Days. That has been going on since at least the 1940s. Earlier. Yeah, maybe probably earlier than that. I need to check that out because they used to have the mule sales downtown Columbia. But, Mule Days has been going on. My daddy proposed my mama on Mule Day back in 1949.
Oh,
and,
my.
Yeah. And then I guess you've probably been to Bishop Mule Days, haven't you?
I have not.
Well,
there's all these mule events, and I can't say that I've really been to any of them.
Well,
I guess the two largest ones.
Yeah, the two largest ones in the country are probably Columbia Mule Days, and that may be one of the oldest. And then Bishop Mule Days is so well known.
Right.
And that's pretty close to you. That's not that far away from you. So.
It's a good 2-day drive, but it's on the same, it's on the left side of the world.
Is. It's on your same West Coast area.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
So, but yeah, I just got to make that time. It's just, in the, late winter, early spring, it's the expos. And as soon as those are done, I try to get up in the high country as much as I can. And just got to find the time to do it.
Yeah, you just have to make time for those things. Got to make time for those things. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do this is a fun song. It's one by our friend Mr. Mike Blakely, and it is called The Hat Song. And I see you wearing a variety of hats in some of these photographs that are out there with you. But this one is cute. It's The Hat Song. We're going to listen to that and come back and talk more with our good friend Mr. Robert the Trailmeister Eversoll in just a moment on Saddle Up America.
Bought a brand new Stetson hat, a pretty good one, 100 X's. I found it on the sale rack, a little hat shop down in Texas. I got a good deal on it, cause it had one little flaw. Just a rough spot on the crown there, but that was all. See, I figured in the long run, that one little spot wouldn't matter. When it's all said and done and all torn and tattered, that one imperfection
will not stand alone. I'm gonna make this hat my own. Cause it's the way you grab the brim a thousand times before you hang it. Busting through mesquite limbs and the sky through which you fling it. Yeah, the rain may wash away the dust, but it leaves your sweat alone. I'm gonna make this hat my own. About then this young dude walks in, danged if his Wranglers weren't pressed. He said, I want a brand new brim, and I want mine distressed. The hat man frowned a little at the boy as he handed me my change. And he said, son, that way of thinking strikes me strange. He said, I ain't just some sales clerk. I build all these hats. Every day there's more work in that sweatshop in the back. Kicking dirt on my own handiwork ain't something I condone. You're gonna have to do that on your own, boy. Cause it's the way you grab the brim a thousand times before you hang it. Busting through mesquite limbs and the hell through which you bring it. Yeah, the rain may wash away the dust, but it leaves your sweat alone. You gotta make that hat your own. And it's the scorching and the freezing on the ranges where you take it. The grit and grime seasons, boy, there ain't no way to. It's the dance hall and the campfire smoke, the embers from the brandy, and it's what you're down to when you're broke, held high, cause you're still standing. Oh, it's every trail behind you, and the hard landing when you're thrown. That's how you make that hat your own. Take a look at that gray beard beside you there, boy. He's gonna wear his new hat home. You can bet he'll make that hat his own. Distress it your own, you tell, boy. You're gonna have to make that hat your own.
We're talking with our good friend Robert Eversoll. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
That was a fun song.
Yeah, isn't that a fun song?
Very.
Mike Blakely, such a wonderful songwriter as well. So, you know, Robert, when I know that this is our week together, I always spend a little time on your Facebook page, which is always full of fabulous photos and videos and all kinds of things. And then I jump on over to the website, which is so fabulous, the Trail Meister website. And I go to the article section to see what are you writing about. And you mentioned it just a little bit ago. You're working with testing out hoof boots. And I think that's real interesting since, as you know, I know absolutely nothing about the equestrian world, so to speak. So hoof boots. So tell us a little bit about hoof boots and why one might consider them. And maybe a little bit about the main, in this article, you mentioned some very, you know, what does success with a hoof boot look like? So do you want to talk a bit about?
Hoof boots?
Hoof boots, yes.
Yeah. A lot of people, well, heavens. You know, horses' feet, you know, horse podiatry, equine podiatry, you know, they've got these big, hard hooves, right? And, you know, depending upon where you're at, how much you're riding, those hoofs can either, you know, wear down just from the abrasion of the ground on their own, or it may not wear them down and their feet get, you know, longer, which is generally the case. Some places you know, in some uses, horses don't need hoof protection for, you know, but if you're going to be riding a lot, if you're going to be riding in areas like I do that are, have a lot of rocks, you need some type of kicks for the kids. You know, we wear shoes to protect our feet. So it just stands to reason that, that horses and mules should have the same. And like way back in the day, you know, when we were all wearing togas and whatnot, the Greeks, they had hoof boots, and the Romans, they called them hippo sandals. And they were these conglomerations of leather and wooden stuff to, you know, keep their horses sound for work. Huh. And that didn't last too long, and then they went to steel shoes, or probably bronze first, I guess, and they just nail them on the horse's feet. And shoes have lasted for, well, heavens, thousands of years at this point.
How interesting.
Yeah, I think the history is kind of cool. You know, who was the brave guy that first said, I'm going to take a piece of steel and a nail and hang on to this horse's hoof while I wang it in with a hammer?
And that horse, you know, what was that horse thinking looking back on, what are you doing?
Exactly. But they've been in use for eons, and they work. I put shoes on all of my critters early in the year generally, and we run them until, well, heavens, you think it's a piece of steel and it's going to last forever. Very few times have I ever taken a shoe off and haven't been able to bend it. They wear so much. You know, and that's just in the course of, you know, 7-8 weeks. So imagine if their feet didn't have that bit of protection. You know, they'd get sore. And when I moved from Ohio out here, you know, LT, you know, my Palomino, Tennessee Walker that didn't, I was told by my farrier back in Ohio that he had great hoofs and didn't need trod. And that was great in Ohio, where you have a clay-based soil. We move out here, and everything is granite and other types of volcanic stone. You know, those hoofs didn't hold up. I wound up walking off a mountain once, and like, well, I got to get something on here. And so it was traditional steel shoes for quite a while. And then I started hearing things about boots. And I tried them, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, and they just didn't work for my purposes. They came off. They didn't stay on the mules. Because a mule's foot is a different shape than a horse's foot in many cases. They just kind of rotated and they caught sores. So I went back to steel. But in the back of my mind, I've always kind of wondered, you know, is there a better option than poking holes? I mean, truly, they are nails that you hold these things on with. And I'm thinking, if I'm putting, you know, a row of nails around my horse's, my mule's feet, you know, every 7-8 weeks, that can't be good for the structure of the foot. You know, is there a better way? And so, you know, we're going to try hoof boots again this year and see how it goes. It's like I think I said earlier, it's going to be a light year for packing and whatnot. So I'll have the time and you know, just want to see if something is different out there. You know, but at the end of the day, you got to have something to protect. There's a saying, Bobby. And the saying is this: no hoofs, no horse. And I think it's oh so true.
Well, one of the things that you say, of course, your first key point is, you know, comfort is key, and I can certainly understand that. Is the horse or the mule aware of what's on their foot, on their hoof?
I believe so. You know, they, you know, what's on their foot, you know, impacts gait, as well as balance, I think. And a lot of times horses wear shoes, you know, just like people have bad feet, you know, horses can wear shoes as a corrective tool as well. I know the first time I put hoof boots on my animals, when we tried them before, I guess this is the inner teenage boy in me, but they walked like you put a paper bag on a cat's foot. You can just imagine that. You know, they'd pick their feet up and shake it. You know, what is this on there? You know, but, you know, everything takes a little time to get used to. And then after a little bit and a few test rides, they really calmed down. It's just that the fit wasn't what I needed for my mules. Now, my wife, mm-hmm. Celeste, with her little horse, on the off season, she runs hoof boots and she loves them. And the nice thing about hoof boots, to my mind, is that, you know, you only put them on when you're using them. So
that was
so
my
you're
next
not
question.
Wearing down. Mm. Yeah. So
yeah,
with traditional steel shoes, they're getting worn down in the pasture, you know, and mm-hmm. to my mind, that I'm losing money. So you know how mm-hmm. cheap I am. Where with the hoof boots, you're only on when you're using them. So I think that's a plus, assuming, of course, that they will last, you know, that they're rugged enough to last over the course of, you know, X amount of time, which is what we're gonna try. Another thing about boots that I potentially like a lot is rubber is grippy. And if you're in areas that are slick, you know, we have, we call it slick rock. It's just, well, just bare stone that's smooth. And I can tell you from personal experience that, you know, it steel slides.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hoping those boots have a little bit more traction in those types of areas. You know, so I think in between the, you know, the less destruction of the hoof wall, the grippiness, the possibility that they'll last longer since I'm not going to be wearing them down during, you know, when we're not riding, when we're not using them, I think those are all potential benefits. I think the downside is, are they going to stay on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I go through mud, are they going to stay on there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
do you
go ahead?
Yeah, no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
And so are they going to stay on, and are they going to go on easy enough that, you know, do I have to take a hammer to the things to get them to go on? How am I going to, do they come off easy? Because I, you know, not only am I cheap, I'm also lazy. And if it's going to take me 15, 20 minutes to put four plastic boots on a critter, I'm not going to do it, you know.
Yeah.
So it has to have this, it has to be, you know, easy as well. They have to stay on when they want to stay on. They have to come off when I want them off. And that's a lot to ask. So, like I said, it's going to be an experiment.
Do they have to be custom made, Robert, or do you measure the hoofs and then you look for the boots that will kind of fit in that size range?
That's
how
exactly
you...
what you do. You got to measure the feet, and different manufacturers have different schemes for measuring and what fits who. But you have to measure the boots after a fresh trim. You know, so after the horsey podiatrist has been out, you know, break out the tape measure, and since the folks that I'm talking with are in Australia, so now I got to convert everything to metric. Try to find a metric ruler at Home Depot. Just try to find one. So got all those measurements, and they pretty much told me flat out when we first started the process was, you know, we can get the front boots on, I think, but, you know, I don't know that we've got any molds that are going to fit the rear hoofs, because the rear hoofs are shaped a little bit differently than the fronts. And by the way, that little Coco mule, I don't think we could have any shoes small enough to fit. We will try, but we have wonders. So, well, I don't know. So you know, it like I said, it's going to be an adventure, but I can guarantee you by the afternoon, June 27th, after the hoof boot people have been here, along with my farrier. Nobody touches my girls' feet unless the farrier is here with them. They will either have plastic boots that fit, or we'll go back to steel. But on the 29th, we're going riding. So it's gonna be an adventure, but it's a good time to do it for my schedule, and I'm really excited about seeing what kind of new technology, what kind of new fits are out there. I think they have the fit down pretty much for horses, but mules' feet are more. If a horse's foot is, we'll call it round, roughly speaking, mules' feet are more long and ovalish.
I started to say they're more of an oval shape than a horse's foot.
Exactly, depending upon the mule, and since mules are hybrids, you've got a little bit of horse, a little bit of donkey, you know, and some in between. It's just like, so Nike makes tennis shoes, right? You know, they've got molds or lasts or whatever you call for tennis shoes, and all these different sizes. So these hoof boot companies, they have more or less the same thing, you know, some type of a mold for in all these sizes, but they don't have very many molds that are oval is what I'm gathering, and they're wanting to get more into that muley market. And for whatever reason, people think that I'm a huge mule guy. So they reached out to me to, you know, hey, can we try? And I'm kind of excited about it. But
well,
that's,
I think,
that's
you know,
what
that's...
I know about feet.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, when it comes down to it, it really is a matter of personal choice of the individual. Whether you use boots or whether you use traditional shoes or, you know, they've got plastic shoes now, Bobby, so they've got plastic shoes now that they'll put on these horses. They really all go down to personal choice, and a lot of people just don't think you ought to do anything, just trim them and go. And
you know, it's whatever works, you know, mileage may vary. I've always kind of figured that I don't do anything, you know, natural with my critters, you know. Certainly throwing pack saddles on them and going up into the high country is not natural for where they came from. But, you know, if I didn't really use them, if I just wanted them to look at it around, I probably wouldn't mess with it. You know, get them trimmed
up.
There you go.
But
it's whatever works best. And if you ever just want to watch people start up that whole barefoot boot, traditional shoe conversation and just get off to the side and watch people fight. It's hilarious.
Oh, gosh. Well, again, it's whatever works for you. And, you know, I'm not going to argue with people. Whatever you like, whatever works for you is fine with me. But I'll throw mine in. I'm an old traditional, let's put a shoe on the horse and forget about it kind of guy.
Yeah, it works. And you can, which is why when the folks first called me, you know, said, you do a lot of packing. I said, well, I do a little bit of packing. And you know, would you be willing to try our boots, you know, in an American packing scenario? I'm like, well, no. Well, why not? Because I'm not going to spend the time, you know, I don't have the time, you know, when I'm pulling a pack string to watch out for boots, whether they're on, whether they're off. I'm not going to take the time to put them on, take them off. Shoes are easy. Let me get the job at hand, you know, completed, you know, and if it's not broke, I'm not going to fix it. You know, like this year, though, where it's going to be more recreational in nature, I'll give it a whirl. Worst thing that happens is, you know, I turn around and I call my farrier and say, hey, Alex, can you come by tomorrow if you get a chance? Failure is an option when you're close to home.
That's right. Put those shoes back on. But anyway,
exactly.
Well, we look forward to hearing about how the test goes with this, and you can share that on the air with our folks. So we look forward to having you do that.
Happy for it.
Well, it's good to have you back with us, and we're looking forward to seeing you in Tennessee in September. And I'll fire up the grill, and we'll do some cooking out, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Now, Bob, you gotta try to make it.
Yeah. We'll shoot you the exact date on that, okay?
Yeah, well, I'll write the date on our calendar, and we'll see.
Okay.
That sounds like us going back into the Bob. You know, she was going to go back to the Bob sometime too.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough, Robert, to get away.
I understand. I think we'll see is the Albuquerque equivalent to a Southern lady saying, "Bless your heart."
Bless your heart. That's right.
That's what I can say. There you go.
All right. So for the folks that are listening around the world, Robert the Trailmeister Eversole, and he is the creator of Trailmeister.com, a guide to horse trails and campgrounds across America. And it is a great website, Trailmeister.com. Visit that. He has some great videos, great tools to learn by, and we're going to encourage you to do that. And, Robert, look forward to having you back again next month, and look forward to seeing you in just a couple of months in Tennessee.
You know, September is going to be here before we know it, and looking forward so much.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right, well, we're going to say goodbye for today and listen to a great song from Joyce Woodson called "She's in Love with Her Horse." We'll be back in just a moment on Saddle Up America.
or little hay, and they both will be happy. And hey, she's got the room. She's besotted, so let's applaud it. She forgot about the divorce. Oh, there's nothing you can do. No debate, no discord. She's happy now. She's in love with her horse.
Miss Joyce Woodson, she's in love with her horse. You know, Joyce is another one that's spent a lot of time here in Nashville. Several years that she was here writing.
Yes, that's right. So, that's right.
Now back in California. So anyway, Nashville is a great place to come and practice your craft. And some people stay forever, and some people just kind of trail on back home wherever they came from. So I guess the saying, there's no place like home, is true for a lot of people, you know?
But they also say you can never go back.
Well, that's not true, though. So that's just for some people. Just for some people. Well, exciting news here. The International Western Music Association Tennessee chapter is headed back to the Bluebird Cafe on August the 2nd. And we will have performing Mr. Rex Allen Jr., Ranger Doug of Riders in the Sky, Junie Fisher, and Bobby Marquez, and I will be hosting that. So we look forward to people showing up for the Bluebird Cafe. Tickets will go on sale a little closer to time, and those things usually sell out in about an hour. So we'll post some information when they go on sale. But that's going to be fun to be back at the Bluebird again. We were there once last year, and so we're looking forward to being back again, this time at the world-famous Bluebird Cafe. So what's going on with Miss Bobby Bell and your Out West Hour? Out West Radio Out West Show, Out West Rendezvous with a Writer. You've got so much going on.
Yep, I know. Well, I just received an email from Mixcloud. I do put up all the Out West Hours on Mixcloud, that my show, which was called Her Stories Cover Girls, is now ranked at number 6 in the Western Swing chart. That's pretty cool.
Good. Good.
And this week's Out West Hour, which airs on KUPR.org at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, and then you can catch it as a podcast. This week's theme is 2 on the Dial, and so I have selected, I think it's 7 performers, and each one has two selections. And I've been doing this like once a month as kind of a theme. It's sort of fun. So you get 2 different songs. So you hear 2 different styles from the performer. And we have that coming up this Saturday. Tonight on Rendezvous with Writer on LA Talk Radio, it streams live at 6 p.m. on the LA Talk Radio Facebook page. Our guest is a retired pastor, actually, from South Carolina, Dan Batson, who's written quite a moving memoir called Mourning. And he'll, I think, be a very interesting guest, as well as talk a little bit about, if you're thinking about writing a memoir, what should you be thinking about? So that's always, we always like to get into that creative process with our guests, like we did with Alan Chapman. I think that's always fun. Where in the world do you get the ideas, and how do they flow?
Yeah.
You know, how do they flow down onto the written word? So that's what we have going on.
A bunch of activities forever.
Yeah. And the International Western Music Association New Mexico chapter, we are gearing up for our very first National Day of the Cowboy celebration on July 22nd. 22nd?
That's going to be exciting. 22nd. That is July 22nd. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of activity going on with Miss Bobby Bell. She just stays so busy. I wanted to mention real quickly that 2 weeks from today, the Extreme Mustang Makeover is headed to the Williamson County Ag and Expo Center here in Franklin, Tennessee. And 100 days that these people have to work with a wild Mustang and get them ready to present. And they are going to be doing some amazing, amazing things at the Extreme Mustang Makeover June the 22nd through the 24th. And in addition to the competition with both the youth and the adults, we have Mike Majors, who is the two-time Road to the Horse champion, that will be there on Saturday, and he'll be signing autographs and visiting with people. We have Miss Rodeo Kentucky that's going to be coming in, and she'll be visiting as well. And then we have some people that you might know, Bobby, and that's Mary Kay Holt and Tisha McKenna and Myrna Lewis that will be performing for the VIP event on Saturday night. And then another young lady that you may know is Miss Phoebe White, and she'll be performing prior to the beginning of the finals and singing the national anthem. So that's all taking place June the 22nd through the 24th at the Extreme Mustang Makeover presented by the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And another interesting note is that all of these Mustangs will be up for auction immediately after the competitions. So that is just a cool, cool way to find homes for these Mustangs that have been brought in from the open plains because of overcrowding and placed in holding facilities. And we use this as one of our means of getting them into good adoptive homes. So that's June the 22nd through the 24th at the Williamson County Ag Center in Franklin, Tennessee. For more information and for tickets for the finals and the VIP event, go to MustangHeritageFoundation.org, and you can find out everything that you need to know there. Well, it's been kind of fun visiting with Alan Chapman, and I'm kind of envious. You're going to see him tonight?
No, we're on the radio at the same time he's performing here live, so unfortunately... But we hope to have perhaps a meal with him next week, and then we will all meet up again in South Dakota. So we'll have a little time with Alan.
Well, that's great. That is great. Well, great visiting with Alan, and very good to have Robert Eversole back with us after being gone for a couple of months. So we look forward to having him joining us again next month on the Saddle Up America. And we remind you that the Campfire Cafe, Saddle Up America, comes on every Thursday beginning at noon Central Standard Time. You can also catch Live from Nashville at noon Central Standard Time. And our guests this week are a group from, they split their time between California and Texas. It's Tremoloco. And these guys are a fantastic band. You're going to really enjoy the show with Tremoloco. And then Myrna Lewis will be a guest on the show as well. So that's this Thursday beginning at noon Central Standard Time for Live from Nashville. We remind you that all of our shows are heard around the world at our website, EquestrianLegacy.net, on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. Well, Bobby, I think that's about it for the day. You have any closing thought for us?
From Katie Couric, be fearless. Have the courage to take risks. Go where there are no guarantees. Get out of your comfort zone, even if it means being uncomfortable.
Good, good words. Good, good words. We're going to close out the show today with another song from Miss Phoebe White. It's Phoebe the Yodeling Cowgirl. And again, she's going to be performing at the Extreme Mustang Makeover on June the 24th at the Williamson County Ag Center. Bobby, we'll see you next week on the radio. Or not. Were you going to be absent for like a week or two, aren't you?
Yeah, the next two Thursdays, yes.
We'll miss you. We'll miss you. But we encourage everybody to tune in. We may have some guest hosts that fill in for her while she's gone. But this is Phoebe the Yodeling Cowgirl. Let's take a listen. Thanks for listening.
I was born in Oklahoma in the rolling old sage hills. And I rode my pinto pony out full gallop on my thrills. And the song of joy and gladness bubbled outwards from my heart and burst forth in merry music. That's how yodeling got its start.
They called her baby, the yodeling cowgirl.
As dainty as fairies, princess of the prairies.
Baby, the yodeling cowgirl.
I ride along in yodel of song from dawn till dusk till dawn.
Baby, the yodeling cowgirl.
California and became a TV star. Broadcast waves and beams and rays cast yodeling near and far. My yodeling swept the country, epidemic that all caught us. Now everybody knows me as the F.B. Gladys Scottish.
Baby, the yodeling cowgirl.
As dainty as a fairy, princess of the prairie.
Baby, the yodeling cowgirl.
Yodeling cowgirl. Yodel, olay, I yodel, odel, 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 od